If you lie to the government, they'll put you in prison. But when they lie to all of us, it's called being a politician. You think taking guns away will save our kids from the killings? But you're pro-choice, abortion kills way more children. If America's so terrible and racist, it probably isn't safe to encourage immigration. Just saying, all the contradictions are embarrassing. You know who hates America the most? Americans. But we are all the same, we are red, white, and blue. Ashamed to be American? Okay, that's cool. Cause honestly, we are all ashamed of you too.
Y'all are so fake. Oh no, the forecast said that there'd be snowflakes.
And we're back after a little bit of a hiatus. Finally done with that legislative budget session. Getting back into the normal swing of things. Bringing you another episode of Wide Right Turn with Tom Kelly. Tom, how you doing tonight, bud?
Doing quite well. I don't think I'm doing as well as you are, though. I mean, you got to spend all that time with our esteemed legislators down in Cheyenne looking out for the best interests of Wyoming voters. I mean, how do you feel when you come back when you're in the presence of such wisdom and selflessness?
I don't think it matters how I feel, what I thought, or what I'm going to do about it. In fact, I may not even have completely understood it accurately because, well, I just wasn't born in Wyoming, so I need to shut up, mind my business, and let the true Wyomingites handle it.
Oh, so you don't count either. You're an immigrant.
I'm guessing it's something like that, but we should definitely take a deep dive into that tonight, as it seems to be the hot topic coming out of the legislative session. I've counted no less than 5 articles, at least out of the cowpie, all touting individual opinions, most of them legislators, some of them just journalists or opinion makers, just scrapping all over this. The real problem is we have people who aren't from Wyoming, don't understand Wyoming, and don't care about Wyoming, trying to run Wyoming. So I know you sent me a couple things earlier, and you have a take on that. So why don't we get into what you're seeing, and I will, of course, jump in whenever it's appropriate.
I'm going to read some excerpts from, most of these are from Cowboy State Daily. In fact, the one I had was from the Powell Tribune that I was going to talk about, the piling on Representative Bear for just asking philosophically, if a town can't exist without government subsidies, why is it even there? Thus, we get all that crap about, well, John Bear tells small towns to go stick it. You know, he's from out of state anyway. He doesn't understand the importance of small towns. And we even see like members of the legislature writing op-eds. And I guess we won't waste any more time on that. I thought about that earlier because of Trump's call for a bloodbath, according to the mainstream media, when he said if he's not elected president, the auto industry is going to be a bloodbath. And of course, that's just the way the media, whether it's Wyoming or national, behaves. And this is why it's important to talk about that bias first, to lay that out there, rather than go off on that issue about Mr. Bear. We see the same narratives in Wyoming news. Now, there's always this claim that people who, not only do you have to be born in Wyoming, but your parents and your grandparents and your great-grandparents had to be also, as if we all remember the lives of our ancestors, which we do not. But the media jumps in on this idea that Wyoming is this mythical place that exists in a vacuum from the rest of the country and the rest of the world. And only people who have lived in Wyoming their entire lives can understand that. And it's absolute crap. But I feel good about it, Joey, because I'm seeing this in the media. I'm seeing it, like I said, primarily Cowboy State Dailies, where I'm seeing this narrative over and over. Like the latest article about Mark Jones being an out-of-state transplant, going to take on somebody who's been here his whole life. Good. Good. That's fantastic. But let's move on to State Senator Schuler. There was an article saying she had it with mean, divisive politics in the legislature. Now, I understand that. I'm somebody who definitely doesn't like dealing with some of the people she's complaining about. But let me read this excerpt from it, and then I'll go off what I think about it. And I'm really not highly critical of her here. It's just that it's coming back to that narrative. The quote is, I think we kind of fell asleep at the wheel a little bit out here in our beautiful state and didn't get involved as much as we should have, she said. Schuler said Wyoming politics has changed significantly since she first entered the legislative fray in 2018. She sees less collaboration and compromise occurring on bills and a general fragmentation of the body. Quote, I hope and the election's coming up, we continue to try and find people that are common sense, reasonable sense people, whether they're Republicans or Democrats, she said, listening to their constituents and not some other stuff that comes into play. Well, I couldn't agree more with that. I would rather people run as Democrats if they believe in the Democratic principles. I would rather have common sense and reasonable people myself. There's no argument here. But here's where it comes in. Schuller, a fifth-generation Wyomingite, said she's concerned with how many new residents are running for office in Wyoming. She believes most of these people haven't made an effort to understand Wyoming culture or their neighbors' beliefs. I'm not saying these folks that have moved in the last 2 or 3 years can't assimilate and figure out what the Wyoming way is, but I don't think they always do, Schuller said. Really? Really? They might be assimilating. Now, the funny thing is, if somebody says this on a national stage, that people who come to America because they believe in American principles and want to live the American way of life aren't real Americans, they get called xenophobic, they get called anti-immigrant. But if you move from Colorado into Wyoming after having lived under the same United States Constitution in your entire life, you have no idea how life is in the West. I'll cut it out. Well, I'll continue on here what it says here. She wants to see people serve on local boards and councils before they run for a position in the legislature or higher. Fair enough. That's something we could say about anybody, no matter where they're born or what their political stripe. Maybe you just don't jump in to a higher level office. Arguments could be made either way on that, but that's a reasonable position. And I also agree when she says this. I don't think they want some, she's talking about the voters. I don't think they want someone they hardly know that just spews the right thing. I'm not a big fan of extremists. I agree with that too. She goes on to say that 80% of Wyomingites are not really well represented right now in Cheyenne because the right and the left have their extremists. She's a moderate or liberal Republican, probably represents her district fairly well, and I'm okay with that. But that's really what, before I move on here and let you hear what you have to say about that one article, that's where it's brought in, the fifth generation Wyomingite, as if that somehow makes somebody more qualified. But I'll rip into that later because the final thing I'm going to get into is Rod Miller's assault on people like us. So what do you think about her idea right now about the divisive politics? You were down there. How divisive was it?
Well, everything I saw that happened that seemed to be problematic for the establishment was something that existed in the rules and had happened before. It's not like people are coming in. They don't know anything about Wyoming. They don't know anything about legislating. They don't know anything about the rules. And they just start trying to change the way things work. Everything I saw was according to what they're calling the process they just don't like. And this is another example of that. All of these op-eds and news stories and comments that you're hearing from legislators and Trotsky Wolfson and Rod Miller, they can't explain the other side. Now, from what she's saying, there's divisiveness and there's all this newcomers that don't, you know anything about Wyoming or how we do it here. Kind of sounds like she's saying they're not voting in lockstep with us the way we expect them to, which is something they have a problem with when a group of individuals who have defined principles, not just this out in the ether, pie in the sky, I don't know, tag phrase, we're true Wyomingites. Can't tell you what that means. Can't tell you how to get there, but we know how it really works here. Or even I saw one of Rod Miller's replies to somebody who pushed back on him a little bit on a comment in his story. And she said, well, what does that even mean? And she's like, hey, you know damn good and well, and I stand behind everything you say. I'm like, that's not an answer. That's a total cop-out. None of these individuals can tell me where is the handbook, what are the guidelines, and what is the process of becoming a real Wyomingite, and where's the test? Because I know we got kids graduating from high school that are required to study and pass a test on the U.S. Constitution and the Wyoming Constitution, and you have to take at least a year of Wyoming history. And none of those people seem to know anything more about Wyoming than the rest of us. So there's got to be a process. If they're saying it's a problem and they're saying, oh, there's a possibility for assimilation, what is the process? What is the expectation? What is the standard? And what are the principles? Because the only thing I see any of these true multi-generational Wyomingites standing behind is this thing called cowboy ethics, which most of them violate with impunity on a regular basis. So if you can teach your kids who were born in Wyoming somehow to be a true Wyomingite, then there has to be a curriculum, a process, or a set of standards and principles that you teach your kids that the rest of us can learn. I think the truth is they've gotten away with it for so long. And this is one of the reasons she wants people to go into lower office and serve on boards, which I agree with you. I'm not totally against. Learn that there are processes, but even in, at those levels, the processes, the procedures, even the law in many cases isn't followed. That's the proving ground. That's the training camp to teach you to shut up and do things the way the people that have been here forever tell you to do them. And that's all I'm seeing and hearing. Nothing of substance, nothing of principle, nothing based on a standard that can be related or taught somewhere else. Just, we've been here longer, so we know, and you don't know, and there's no way to teach it because you can't fix, you know, it used to be you can't fix stupid. Now I guess you can't fix un-Wyomingite. So yeah, I watched Shuler on the floor, and the bottom line is, if she is a true representation of real Wyomingism, she's going to say, well, I was concerned about security in the schools. No, you were patently anti-Second Amendment. Just admit it. It's like you said, I prefer a Democrat that wears blue and rides a donkey as opposed to one who wears red and tries to come over into our camp. She's got to call it like it is. You know, she constantly says, I listen to my constituents. I vote based on the content of the emails. Well, you just told us how to defeat you. You don't really have any principles. You go with whatever you're told by who you think is the loudest voice. Or do you have specific people that you get emails from that you listen to only, what we call stakeholders? That was Jerry Paxton's big thing. I have vetted and dedicated stakeholders that really tell me what's going on in the county so I know how to vote. Otherwise, can we just send you a bunch of emails and change the way you vote? It's got to be based on principle, regardless of where you're from. And I talked about this a little bit on Crosstalk Live, and David and I are going to talk about it again tomorrow morning. The concept of multi-generational Wyomingism, hey, makes you feel good. You got a history. Yeah, be proud of your culture. Be proud of your family. That's fine. But it says nothing about your individual merit, quality, or ability. You know, I constantly point out the fact that all these wannabe conservatives who are in the Republican Party who aren't anything near conservative always say, well, I of course I'm a good Republican. I'm a fifth generation Wyomingite. Well, so is Joe Barbuto. You know, he's the chairman of the Wyoming Democrat Party, and he doesn't give a lick about liberty or Wyoming. He cares about what's best for him and his special interest groups and his little, you know, individual identity cabals. And it's ridiculous to me. And nobody's ever been able to back it up with anything quantified or significant that it really means something or it boils down to something tangible. You know, another example I have is I was watching a documentary the other day, 1988. We had a murder in just north of Casper that turned into a hunt for about 10 years that ended up catching one of Wyoming's biggest serial killers. That guy's a multi-generational Wyomingite. Did he have all those principles just because his family stayed here for 110 years? I don't think so. So it really doesn't mean anything. And then I counter that with the realization that it's a good bonus. It's a nice addition to other things, like with Harriet Hageman. She's a multi-generational Wyomingite, but she's not awesome because she's that. You could take that away and she'd still kick ass at everything she's doing out there because she has her own ability. She has her own merit. So the multi-generational Wyomingism thing, or this unwritten, you know, how long do you have to live here? And what do you have to go through to really become a Wyomingite? Because I've been here more than just a couple of years, and apparently I'm the farthest thing from it, and I'm here for a reason. I think you're here for a reason too, and it's because we have the worldly experience to know how bad it is out there, and how when you sit there with your head in the ground, and you're an isolationist based on an imaginary set of, I don't know, fantasies, they're not realities, then they come and they take you over.
Well, I'll address more about myself and why I'm here when I get to Mr. Miller's column. I understand the fear they're playing on, these outsiders coming in, because most people in Wyoming who are worried about outsiders coming in, they're coming in from California. They're coming in from Colorado. They're fleeing blue states. And there is a concern when they move into places like Teton County and turn the county blue, because that is not typically how Wyoming is. Now, I understood when I came here, and I'll come back to this later, that Wyoming was one of more of the libertarian states, not hard right conservative, not hard right wing, kind of like Florida has turned into. I don't want that either. I liked the idea, the culture, that people were allowed to live their own lives, be themselves, and communities and neighbors helped one another out. That's how I viewed it. And if people have lived there their whole lives think I've got that wrong, that's not what Wyoming is, then maybe I did come to the wrong place. But generally, the people I meet, that's how they explain it. It's that people try to stay out of each other's business, but they'll help you if you need it. But I need to move on to this one here. Here, this one's a beauty. This is maybe where I start to get a little sharper in my tone of voice. Because, like, again, I understand where Senator Schuler's coming from, and she probably felt some frustration because this was the first term where you had people stand up to the machine and say no, and it wasn't so easy. And some of the procedural tricks they've used in the past to shelve bills that 60-70% of Wyomingites, actual Wyomingites, supported, and to have things like the gun-free zones pulled back from the dead. They didn't like the fact that they weren't allowed to use their procedural measures to bury conservative things, and conservatives fought back this time. I understand that. She's running for re-election, and these things come up. But this is probably my favorite, and I say favorite with a little tongue-in-cheek there, member of the Wyoming legislature. This one was titled in Cowboy State Daily, Wyoming's Republican Factions Face Off for Battleground GOP Primary, because that's really what this legislative session was. It was posturing and positioning for the primaries. Representative Barry Crago, Republican Buffalo, really, said the Wyoming caucus he supports wants to focus on electing, quote, good Wyoming people that represent conservative values. What this means to Crago is people who have spent some time in the state and has used this time to immerse themselves into serving their local communities and understanding what their neighbors want. Wow, the irony of understanding what your neighbors want. Well, he does. He tells them what they want to hear and then votes against it. I'll continue on. His quote, people that care about Wyoming, this isn't about D.C. politics. It's about doing what's best for our communities back home. Those are the people we want to elect. Well, what a whole mouthful of nothing. Talk about platitudes. We need to take care of people. We need to get good people. We need to say absolute meaningless crap to get us elected because our record, we have no substantive record to run on whatsoever. What we need to do at this point is vilify Mr. Mark Jones of the Gun Owners of America because, well, he's a transplant. He only moved here, what, 4 or 5 years ago like I did? God forbid that. You can't possibly learn how your neighborhood is in 4 or 5 years. You learn in 4 or 5 weeks really quickly sometimes. But this is my favorite part I saw in the article here. Craig said Wyoming has developed a move-in politician problem. About a third of the Freedom Caucus are not Wyoming natives. All right. So you just said about two-thirds of the Freedom Caucus are Wyoming natives. So most of the Freedom Caucus are from Wyoming. So I don't know, see how this is a problem of outsiders taking over the party when the Freedom Caucus is primarily people who have been here their whole lives. And then it continues on. Two new candidates are recently announced they are running in the House in Johnson and Sheridan counties, moved into the state within the last 5 years. So Lori and Mark? Yeah, exactly. And we have to understand also that Lori and Mark are not people that came to Wyoming to change it. Lori came from Colorado like I did. Mark's originally from the Mid-South, Virginia, North Carolina area. And we came to Wyoming because, well, you know what? We'd actually been here before we moved here. We actually met the people. We actually watched the media. We actually read the newspapers. We actually got to know people before we uprooted our entire families and decided to relocate here. So we didn't just move in because the weather was beautiful in December and decide, well, we'll change the politics where we came from. No, we came here because we left states that have already implemented what the left wants in this state. And we know where it leads. And we've heard the language before setting up for it about investing in communities. Now, it's more government spending. It's more centralization of power in the state. So I completely dismiss this argument. All Craigo is saying is, I can't run on my record, so I'm going to attack Mark Jones because he came from a different state. What a vapid and useless argument.
Yeah. Amongst a few other points of, they keep talking about the Freedom Caucus and acting like it's anybody who has a conservative bone in their body or a conservative voting record. Most of the people he talks about aren't in the Freedom Caucus proper. They're just conservatives that happen to be in the legislature, mostly in the House. There are no formal caucuses over on the Senate side. But the most interesting thing I find about his complaint is Barry Craigo's not from Wyoming either. In fact, we're putting together the list of all of these good, hardcore Republican Wyomingites who aren't really from Wyoming. And it includes a lot of people like Clark Stitt and Barry Craigo. We've got some information, a little bit of evidence that Cyrus Western actually lives in Denver most of the time. And we know for a fact Bob Nicholas is living over there in Lander. Now, that still happens to be in Wyoming. But none of these people care about following the rules or the again, I'm going to say principle of any of their, even their own complaints. It's absolutely astounding to me. And the other thing I got to say about these two individuals specifically, Lori Bratton and Mark Jones, was when they came here, they didn't come here and jump into politics and jump into running for office. First of all, we have a law against that. You have to live here for a year. So anybody that's complaining, Wendy Schuller, Barry Craigo, Rod Miller, change the law. Make it reflect what you actually want to say. You have to be able to pass this test in Wyoming history. You have to be able to cite whatever things from the Wyoming Constitution. And you have to live here for 5 years. The only office you have to live here for 5 years in order to run for is governor. So even their complaint, oh, they've only lived here for, you know, 5-6 years. Legally, that qualifies you to run for governor. Got a problem with it? Change the rule. It seems to be a reoccurring theme. They keep complaining about the rules that they have total control over changing. If you really believe that that's an issue, you could address that. But specifically, Lori and Mark both came here and got involved, starting at the local level and then moved on to bigger things. I believe Lori started a group, some kind of, you know, political minded community organization. Mark got involved with Gun Owners of America and rapidly rose through that after, you know, settling down in here. So they've all done work that makes them, in my mind, more qualified than the average Joe, because they've been down in the trenches long before they ever threw their name into consideration for political office. And I'll tell you, this is an old argument. This is an argument that Jerry Paxton and the rhinos here in Carbon County used against me when I ran in 2020. Oh, he's only lived in Carbon County for 2.5 years. He moved here from Albany County just because he thought there was a weak candidate and he could run against us and take over our legislative seat, you know, here in Carbon County. So again, it's nothing new. And no, I didn't. And I proved it. Who would live in Albany County if they didn't have to? I was there going to the university. Once I found out I was retiring, I dropped out of the university, got my retirement papers, moved out of Laramie. No reason to live there. And I had to show that, you know, here's my retirement documents. I'm not here just to run for office. But I've been here for 2 years and I see some of the major problems. So yeah, I'm going to run for office. So it's not a new argument, but there's nothing that they can substantiate when they make these arguments. It's just like you said, I have no record, I have no principles, and I really don't even have any presence to run on anymore. So we have to create something that we can pretend is undeniable, but can't prove exists, in order to push me ahead of my legitimate opponent who might actually do a good job.
Well, I get to move on here to Mr. Rod Miller's recent article. I believe it was on the 14th of this year in March. And he goes on a rant about people trying to come to the state and change it while claiming they're here to help. And then he asks some questions. So this is what I really wanted to do tonight. As one of these horrific people who came here to take over and change the state horrifically, I'll answer these questions. He asks about people like me, if they're coming here to make things better, then why weren't they able to make things better in the places that they came from? Okay, well, Since I've lived in more than one state, Rod, I can tell you about how politics are in other states. If you'd like to actually know an answer to that, I'll tell you. I'm originally from Illinois. You could still hear the Chicago accent when I talk sometimes. And I get this weird hybrid of Western and Chicago accents. Fine. There's some place there called Cook County. We affectionately call it Crook County. That was kind of funny when I found out and got her there actually was a Crook County, which was a great place to live, unlike Cook County, Illinois. When you look at the map of Illinois, you see basically like Wyoming, two blue counties and a bunch of red. Cook County is the county. It's where Chicago, Illinois is. It's where the original Mayor Daley came from. It's where Barack Obama came from and brought Chicago politics to D.C. And what happened in Illinois from the time I was a kid, it was the manufacturing center of the Midwest. It was an agricultural center. It was a mecca to go to. People moved to Illinois not for that wonderful Midwestern weather where the sun goes away in November and doesn't come back till March, or the southern-like weather in the summertime where it's hot and humid all the time. Thunderstorms, rain. It's not sunny very often. It's not the most pleasant place to live in the world, but it was a great place to open a business, to move to the big city. There were all sorts of great things going on in Illinois. You probably could say the same things about California, too. And what we saw there over the years was a complete Democratic takeover of the state. And it wasn't just the Democratic Party. The Republican Party of Illinois was infiltrated by people who voted with the Democrats, pro-choice Republicans. I agree with the Second Amendment, but fill in the blank for our next gun control argument. We need to invest more in the schools. We need to invest in our communities. We need to, we is always the same thing. I understand the language. We nothing. We do need to take care of our communities, but we need to, when a politician says it, means you need to give me your money, your power, and your sovereignty, and I'll make the decisions for you because you're a moron. We saw that going on for many, many years. And why couldn't we win? We were outnumbered. It's that simple. The Democratic Party has owned the city of Chicago and Cook County for decades. Since the 1930s, they've had that machine running in there, and Democrats don't lose. Kind of like everybody's a Republican in parts of Wyoming. Everyone's a Democrat in Cook County because you can't have power as a Republican. There are some people who lean right. They're Democrats, too. They own that state. Cook County is infamous for perfecting voter fraud. Cook County invited in Mayor Daley, met JFK when, quite frankly, Mayor Daley helped steal Illinois for JFK to become president, producing all those ballots. People get to vote over and over. Don't tell me it's a conspiracy theory, Rod. I live there. You don't know anything about Illinois.
How could he?
I was there.
Born and raised there.
My family is from Bridgeport, where the Daleys came from. And it was a running joke about collecting ballots of the dead people, about making sure you voted in all four precincts before the day was over. Voter fraud is a way of life in Cook County, Illinois. And Republicans eventually got infiltrated by the left, like I said, and the party and the state swung further and further left. And what had happened, we fought that for years. Eventually, people would say, I have better things to do than to constantly fight these political battles and just get outvoted anyway. Even if the polls are on our side, we know that East St. Louis, down on the other side of the river, and Cook County, Illinois, are going to produce more ballots to make sure the Democrats win the entire state again. And now the state is completely overrun because people like me left because it was a way of life I did not want to raise my children in. I didn't want to live in a police state. If I went back to Illinois during COVID, it's an authoritarian police state. They were literally checking papers Are you an essential worker? Do you have your mask on? And they're pushing everyone to get those ridiculous vaccines that not only didn't work, but made people sick. Oh, that's a conspiracy theory too. Sure, just keep watching what happens with that. It was a nightmare to raise my kids. Not to mention that, Rod, I was renting my home from the government. Not the most spectacular place you've ever seen. It was investing in the schools. It was making sure we had quality education. By the way, the public schools in Illinois are an absolute joke. Chicago public schools are some of the highest paid teachers in the country. Go check it out if you're brave enough to go in that city, tough guy. I don't know how long you'd last there.
I don't think
nonetheless,
you're in Nebraska.
My taxes on my home were $1,000 a month. It was a 5-bedroom home, decent sized house, because I lived with my in-laws who we took care of during that time, because my mother-in-law had Alzheimer's disease and my father-in-law was dying of lung cancer and heart failure. So we moved in with me and my 5 children into a house in Crystal Lake, Illinois, where we paid $1,000 per month for the right to stay in our own home. It was untenable. Not to mention the fact we had to pull our children from the wonderful Crystal Lake public schools and put them in a Lutheran school and pay tuition for that, because the public schools were already bringing stuff into the school libraries that Wyoming is just fighting the battles over now. Outright pornography, demonic stuff, R-rated violence for children in elementary school. We pulled our daughter out of that because she was having nightmares about my wife stabbing me to death and smiling because she was possessed with a demon. Where did she get an idea from like that? Her 4th grade teacher reading her a book to the class. That was Illinois. I can't raise my kids here. I can't afford it. Why shelter them? We are going to move west. So his next question is, did they lack the balls to stand up for their beliefs? Were they thwarted because they didn't have enough guns? All right, we'll just skip that sarcastic question. But let's go talk about didn't have the balls to stand up for their beliefs. What do you consider balls, Rod? Staying there in Illinois, watching my kids get indoctrinated with this shit, not being able to save for retirement because I'm renting my home from the government, having to work several jobs just to afford my taxes, not being able to spend time with my family because I have to work to keep up with the bills. I'm literally working to pay for the person across the street who refuses to work. That's not the type of area I'd like to live in at that point. So as somebody who's a coward like me, obviously didn't have balls, decided in 2010, after I finished my PhD, oh yeah, I'm the uneducated goof who wasn't good enough to run the superintendent's office here, according to you. We moved to Colorado in 2010, and it was a very different place than it is in 2024. Believe you me. We moved there, and I had no idea where we were going to live. I had no idea where I was going to work. I just knew for the sake of my children, we had to get the hell out of Illinois, because it had adopted all the policies the left is pushing right now in Wyoming. The higher taxes, the investing in community, expanded government health care for everybody, all these wonderful programs that take care of people, concentrates power and money in the state and takes away that liberty you love so much. Oh, and they were already starting with the banning of hate speech and everything in the public schools and the colleges. It is not a wonderful place to live, and it was not great when we left in 2010. We went to Colorado because, oh, I was scared. I was a coward. I was afraid of the Democrats in Illinois. No, it was a lot scarier to pack up and move my family to a part of the country we didn't know very well. I just happened to have a friend who lived out there and said, you might like it better out here. So we went. Now, during that time, I'm going to come back to that, what happened there, because he asked these questions, and then I'll continue with my story about how weak I am or how the balls I lack. Why put up with our wind and cold and isolation just so they can throw their weight around? Hey, Rod, the winters are rougher in Chicago than they are here. They are. Go spend a winter there and find out. we don't get days where it's 40 degrees and sunny and go outside in shorts in Illinois. The only time the sun's out in the winter is when it's negative 20 outside and the wind's blowing constantly out there. Weren't they strong enough to do this at home? Again, I guess I'm weak. Well, you know, Joe, I've been called a lot of things in my life. Weak was never one of them. And this final question, and if they were that weak there, then why the hell would we want them here? Well, I'll tell you why you'd want someone like me here. And I'll explain that in great detail because we've got a few minutes, Joey. After moving to Colorado and finding a job, because I do take action when something needs to be done, my daughter was diagnosed with leukemia in 2012. Had just gotten there. We had just bought a house because, you know, this ballless coward somehow was able to buy a home for his family and take care of them, which is what I was doing. And during that time that she got sick, I was working full-time at American Military University. And that's where I still work. I took on a second full-time job at Grantham University. I took on a part-time job at Excelsior College. I taught part-time at the University of Northern Colorado in Greeley. I, on time cards, was working 24 hours a day, which obviously I wasn't because I was sleeping 4 hours a night. As I made sure, that's how weak I am, Rod. That's what I know about work ethic. And that's what I did to take care of my family for 3 years. And as I had female friends, I thought they were, come up to me when I was tired and say, hey, let me take some of that weight off your shoulders. I somehow had the strength to say no because I was happily married during that time. At the end of those 3 years, as my daughter goes into remission, and thank God she's cured now and she's in college here at Sheridan College, that same year she went in, ended her treatment, my wife was diagnosed with triple negative breast cancer, and it was genetic, which means a double mastectomy and a complete hysterectomy and 4 months of chemo for a tumor the size of a grain of rice, and it still had a 10 to 15% chance of coming back and killing her. So now instead of having two healthy parents and having six children, because my son was born with Down syndrome and a hole in his heart while my daughter was going through cancer treatment. Now, instead of having two healthy parents and one sick child, we have six healthy children and one sick parent. And you know what happened, Rod? This weak guy with no balls got promoted to department chair during this time while I was taking care of my family, because I know how to work and take care of business, and I know how to take responsibility for my family. How weak is that, to be able to not only survive in my job, keep my marriage together, keep my family life, but to get promoted in the process? But unfortunately for my family, by the time I looked around in 2018, when my family was finally okay and I could finally quit a couple of my extra jobs, Colorado had changed. It'd become Illinois with mountains, because in 2013, the Democratic Party passed universal mail-in ballots, and they haven't lost since. And in that 5-year period from 2013 to 2018, our taxes doubled. The gun control laws came in, magazine limits, red flag laws, and then in the legislature in 2018 passed a law saying all public schools had to teach transgenderism in the classroom. It became law in Colorado. And I didn't even really care about that until my daughter, the cancer survivor on the swim team, came running out of the locker room panicking because there was a naked boy in the girls' locker room. She's 12 years old at this time. And we went to the school looking to call the police, and we got lectured by school officials that that was not a boy, that was a transgender girl, and we needed to be more tolerant. And I said, no, we don't. We need to get the hell out of Colorado. I'm sorry, guys. We got to go again. Why wasn't I fighting for Colorado during that time? I was a little busy, Rod. But we came to Wyoming because during the time we lived in Colorado, we spent a lot of time in Wyoming. I lived in Greeley. We came over the border quite often. We loved Cheyenne. We went into the area, went in deeper. We went into Chugwater. We liked Wyoming. And we actually started talking about maybe we'll come here at some point because Colorado was getting more and more crowded. But then several years later, Colorado was a mess. Like I said, it had gone true blue And here came all those policies again. So we moved to Wyoming. And I was the man who just wanted to be left alone. Why did I run for office? Because the people have lived here their whole lives. Ask me to, Rod. They asked me to run for superintendent. They asked me to run for city council. I didn't win those because people like you are running around saying he's a carpetbagger. He's a long-haired professor from Colorado. He's going to ruin the place. But people actually spoke to me, said, you're exactly what we need here. You understand how things work. You understand freedom and community and love of God and love of country and love of family. And when the Freedom Caucus goes down to the legislature and says, no, we're not going to expand Medicaid. No, we're not going to start another government program. No, we don't need to send an extra $40 million to small towns just because we have it lying around. When they say no to further encroachment of government power into personal liberty, that's not weakness. I don't think it's the Wyoming way to look to the government and the state to take care of us. When did that become the Wyoming way? So this whole idea of us somehow being so weak because we couldn't stop these other states from going blue. Well, you know what? We're doing our best to stop it from happening here now because Wyoming does not exist in a vacuum. Wyoming's two Senate seats have been targeted by national politics. When Mr. Crago says, we don't need D.C. politics here, the Wyoming caucus literally plagiarized the RNC playbook. So they just imported the Washington values right into their own website. That's exactly what we're seeing here right now. These are D.C. politics. Take the federal money, build the green electric charging stations, carbon capture. How many people in Wyoming want carbon capture? I'm sure a whole bunch of people, maybe in Teton County at the university, do. Probably sounds pretty good in Cheyenne at this point right now. Oh, and I bet a lot of politicians were going to see some of that money in their campaign contributions. But if we talk to the rank and file people of Wyoming, who I've lived among now for 5 years, and many people just got kind of confused and they hear me speak, they're like, you seem like you're around here, but you've got an accent. Yeah, we do fit in here. And we came here on purpose. And I need everyone to understand who's listening to this right now. When this election season comes around and somebody says, I've spent my whole life isolated in Wyoming and I don't know the rest of the world, that's a red flag. We need people in the legislature who know the history of Wyoming, whose families have been here, who have what we call institutional memory. We also need people who have lived outside the state, and we're trying to warn you, we've seen this before. And the arrogance that this is Wyoming, that would never happen here. Wyoming has already had a child sent here for a gender reassignment from Montana. That doesn't sound like something that Wyoming exactly would want, to be known as a safe haven for kids to get sex changes. Those politics have leaked into Wyoming. This place is not in a vacuum. You are being targeted by the national progressives to bring these things in, to make the communities dependent on federal money, and then that's it. Liberty's over at that point because we need the money. And this is something I warned about on the 2022 campaign trail. And I'm so glad that other candidates grabbed onto that message. And even though I never had a chance in hell of winning when we had an incumbent and a well-funded challenger, I'm so glad the message made it down to the state house. And I don't want to hear anything more about how people like Chuck Gray don't know what they're doing. He knows exactly what he's dealing with. So I hope I answered your question about how weak the people are who pack up their entire lives and come here, and how many of us come here because we just want to be left alone. But when we get here, holy crap, it's happening here too. We didn't think it would be. And we hear the politicians saying the same things, talking about the same reality. We need to diversify our revenue. Yeah, tax hikes. We need to help our communities. Centralized government. Tell me, people of Wyoming, is that what you want? A state-centered government like California, like Illinois? That's where these policies are pushing. And don't buy for a second that would never happen here, because You can talk to people who live in rural Colorado and they say they don't recognize their state anymore. They can't believe it happened. And it's only a matter of time before liberals take over the party and they change the system. So Natrona and Laramie County run everything. And the rest of the counties are outvoted, like the two counties that run the state of Illinois. That's the nightmare I see coming here. That's why I got sucked into politics. And I'll throw in one more thing in this endless rant. I'm autistic. I have severe social anxiety. I don't like public speaking. I don't like being in the public eye. Why am I on Joey's show? People have asked me to be here. Please speak up for everyone in Wyoming, not just the people who have lived here their whole lives or the people who transplanted here. Please warn people about what's coming here. This isn't Chicken Little, the sky's falling. All you have to do is look into the states that are now losing population, what happened in them. That is the direction Wyoming is going. The Wyoming I see now, and I pointed this out in the Wyoming caucuses advertisement, for some reason showed up on my Facebook feed. I'm glad they've got money for that. That the policies the Wyoming caucus is pushing right now is Illinois 20 years ago.
Yeah, I don't doubt it. And I'm glad that we have individuals that will share their personal stories. I mean, that's one of the things I see as the Wyoming way is, hey, bring your own stories and, you know, a reality that has happened, not just some, you know, that's the one thing about Rod Miller. It's all fiction with him. It literally campfire stories, and he admits to it, and he just makes stuff up. And I love in this article that he wrote, he quotes at the very beginning, Nate Champion would be, you know, turning over in his grave, and Nate Champion was such a great Wyomingite. Nate Champion was from Tennessee. Rod Miller needs to check his Wyoming history because, yeah, the hero of the Johnson County War, he wasn't from here either. But I'm going to go into a little bit of a different take, specifically based on one of the questions Rod asked. You covered the why you did it, and I think that's important. Personal testimonies definitely are going to get some people thinking. But my question about Rod's question is, why couldn't you have stayed there and made things better unless you don't have any balls? How often do you expect a good worker to stay at a job under a bad boss and just have the balls to save the company and make it better? It's not going to happen, especially when their principles are being compromised. Their voice isn't being heard, and they have to participate and contribute to something they don't agree with that damages them. Same thing with church. Why couldn't you have stayed in that church and made things better? I mean, all that happened was, you know, the priest only raped your kid for 5 years. You could have had some balls and stayed there and fixed it. You know, your problem's your place. Don't come out here to our good churches. Come on, Rod. You have to think about the implications of what you're saying beyond the pointless point you're trying to make. I'll give you another one. At home. Oh, you found a way to be happy in a marriage later. Why couldn't you have stayed in your first marriage and made that one work? What, you didn't have any balls? You couldn't stand being smacked around a little and treated kind of like, you know, the crap that he treated you as? This is what I hear when I hear Rod Miller make those kinds of statements of, you couldn't make it in your own state. You should have stayed there. There's no good reason why you got to come here into ours. Hey, guess what? There's plenty of opportunity for people to make a better life for themselves elsewhere. That's the only reason why Wyoming existed in the first place. And to really put a super fine point for anybody that I haven't picked up yet on Rod Miller's little, you didn't have the balls to stay there and fix it yourself. Are you saying the Jews just didn't have the balls to stand up to Hitler and take Germany back and make it work while they were there? Come on, guy. You're ridiculous. And your points are literally pointless. I can't believe he comes out with this stuff and then still expects, I don't know, anybody to take him seriously.
But he drives the narrative. Now, first of all, I've read a lot of his stuff. He had something recently about getting rid of the Patriot Act. There are some issues Rod and I see eye to eye on. But when you get the personal attacks about the character of people who come here and not want to change Wyoming, stop it from what we see it changing into, because we moved here for a reason. We moved here because we like the way it is. And then when the politicians stand up and say, well, we really need to expand Medicaid, think of all the federal money. No, no, it's not what we need to do. If somebody really wants government health care that badly, just move south to Colorado. You've got mountains and socialism and gun control, all the wonderful things you could want down there. They didn't want me in Colorado. I think of somebody else, too, talking about coming here and wanting to take over. Jeanette Ward ran unsuccessfully in Illinois. She fought as hard as she could. She ran into the voter fraud machine there. And then she didn't come moving to Wyoming saying, well, I'm going to take over Wyoming. She came the same background as me. She got to Wyoming and said, oh, no, I thought I left all this. And that's how she got into it. And that's why she fights so hard for the values that she stands for. These are not out-of-state values, Barry. These are not D.C. politics. D.C. politics are government dependence. And the elites run everything, and people like me should just shut up and sit down. Jeez, you know, I got on the rant so far, I didn't even mention the fact that I took care of my family and got my second degree black belt when I had undiagnosed rheumatoid arthritis. I didn't know how sick I was. I just realized, I figured I was just getting old and I did martial arts, so everything hurt on me. But that's how weak I am. I somehow did that when I have RA untreated.
Well, I'm glad you brought up Jeanette Ward. The difference between you and her with Rod's question is I know where Jeanette Ward's balls are because she wrote a bill about it that the Wyoming caucus and Rod Miller's True Wyomingites killed that would define where the balls should be. And they didn't want to have any of that. So if Rod's asking where the balls are, maybe the real Wyomingites should have supported that legislation so we could at least define where the balls should be, unlike their True Wyoming caucus side, where I guess most of the balls are on the women because they can't answer that other question that Jeanette Ward brought legislation to answer.
I'd like to know how strong, how big the balls are of the Wyoming caucus when they won't even identify themselves. Not to mention the fact that the Freedom Caucus gets the crap beaten out of it in the media and all over the place for being the anti-freedom caucus, the freedom caucus. I see all sorts of slights against people who put themselves out there. Good men like Ken Pendergraft, who's not even an official member of the Freedom Caucus, who puts his heart and soul into trying to do the best he can. And he is from Wyoming, I believe, isn't he?
Yeah.
And the way they get
the most interesting thing about this argument that they keep bringing up is some of the most conservative conservatives, Mark Jennings, Ken Pendergraft, these are multi-generational Wyomingites themselves, and it doesn't fit their narrative or their argument.
I think Mark might have come in from out of state when he was younger, but he was here for many years before he ran. But that's not even relevant anyway. My point being that if you think that your argument to be reelected is the fact that you've been in Wyoming longer, you have no argument. If your biggest criticism of your opponent is he came from another state, you have no criticism. Can you not debate the issues? Of course not. You can't, because you'll get eaten alive. If you actually go in front of the voters and are honest about how you vote and how you will vote, you can't win. So what do? It's a sideshow. You're not really from Wyoming. You don't count. And I made jokes about it. I made a joke about it on Facebook about Senator Shuler. I'm like, well, geez, you talk about divisive. Xenophobia is divisive. Wyoming caucus, what's your fear of immigrants? What's your problem with that? Especially, you know, all of us English-speaking ones that came from parts of the United States. What are we going to do here? We're going to do something horrible, like come in and make sure you don't institute an income tax for the state? God forbid.
And this is all coming from the same group of people that didn't want any kind of litmus test for the Republican Party. And they even mention it, the 80% requirement for platform support and legislation. That's just a voting record. You don't even have to believe that way. Just vote right to carry the brand. But no, we can't have any litmus test or any purity test. But now they're coming out with the purity test standard. And most of them don't even meet up to their own unfounded standard by being from out of state themselves. But with that, I think it's going to be just about time to wrap it up. And the one thing I want everybody out there to listen to and look out for while you're hearing all these candidates debate or campaign over the next few months, if they say, I've been in Wyoming XYZ amount of years, I'm multi-generational, if they say, I support the Wyoming caucus, try to drill in on What principles are they saying they believe, and are they willing to write them down? Don't sign the Wyoming platform. I hate that. That's a joke. Find out where they stand on principle, their personal principle, on each of the issues that matter to you. I've got candidates that won't answer questions about gay marriage because the courts have decided. I don't care about what the courts decided. Court decisions can be overturned. We saw that with Roe versus Wade. Laws can be rewritten. There's a process to amend the Constitution. What I want to know is, what are your principles? And if they tend to lean to that true Wyomingism, freedom caucus, garbage answer, I'm a multi-generational Wyomingite is the only quality you need to have, and you're from out of state, just think of it this way. They don't want your vote, and they don't want to hear your voice, because they've proven in what they're saying about their opponents is the same way they feel about you by de facto, you know, principle. They don't know anything about Wyoming. They don't know how to do anything. They just cause problems because they're not from here. Well, guess what? A lot of us voters aren't from here either. So I don't know. I guess they just don't want most of our out-of-state votes. So Tom, you got anything else before we jump out of here?
Yeah, I'd just like to say that this whole argument that people who come from out of state don't know how things go in Wyoming, it is not a liability to have spent part of your life in another state. It's a liability to have spent your entire life in Wyoming at this part. That's that myopic viewpoint. People who have spent their entire lives in Wyoming and have no idea what has happened and what is happening in other parts of the United States have a massive blind spot, and they don't see what's coming, and they don't even believe people like me. They say people like me are paranoid, as if I just packed up and moved my family twice because I'm nuts. I may be, but that's not why I moved them.
Yeah, and it also raises the question, we're talking about politics, but if people that aren't born, bred, raised, a multi-generational Wyomingites don't know anything about Wyoming, don't know what's good for Wyoming, don't know what they're talking about, I guess we're going to have to start looking at all of those East Coast and West Coast professors they keep bringing into the University of Wyoming to teach your kids how to be more Wyoming-rific, or whatever the heck they're calling it nowadays. But if you happen to be down at the University of Wyoming and losing your mind at all these liberal redcoats running around telling you what Wyoming is, what Wyoming isn't, and what you do and don't know, and you're just about to lose your mind, hop in the car, drive out the parking lot, and while you're making that wide right turn towards the highway, take a look. You might see me and Tom on the side of the road. Wave, say hi, and remember, we're not from the government, but we are here to help.
If you lie to the government, they'll put you in prison. But when they lie to all of us, it's called being a politician. You think taking guns away will save our kids from the killings? But you're pro-choice, abortion kills way more children. If America's so terrible and racist, it probably isn't safe to encourage immigration. Just saying, all the contradictions are embarrassing. You know who hates America the most? Americans. But we are all the same, we are red, white, and blue. Ashamed to be American? Okay, that's cool. Cause honestly, we are all ashamed of you too.
Y'all are so fake. Oh no, the forecast said that they're